How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored, anointed and appointed and ready? Are you ready for battle? Or you do you carry the wimp syndrome? Too many wimps in the body of Christ. It's time to woman up and man up. Amen? Praise God. Glory. Glory. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. How many of you know God? You know, the word says something specific. It says the Father looks for those who will worship him in truth and spirit. Amen? He said, many come to him, but they come to him with lips, but no heart. And in that, there is a place where when we gather together for worship, we come because we want to give. Amen? We want to give. We want to give. We want to give to him. The purpose of giving to him is to say thank you. So he receives our worship and praise. And what begins to happen is a reconnect. See, if you come and don't get connected, it's because you're disconnected. And you need to be reconnected every time. If you're not reconnected every time, you get no revelation. And where there's no revelation, there's no restraints. So we gather together to give, because it's the greatest way that you can express thank you. It's worship. And as you worship and you come to that place of nothingness, you reconnect. And everything changes. Everything. See, it doesn't matter what's happening around you then. Amen? Because when you know you reconnect, you know that you're a son or you're a daughter. You know that he's your dad. There's a reconnect. It's like when, you know, you haven't seen your family in a long time, and hey, how you doing? Yes, great. Well, you reconnect. But in this reconnection, it's an, I don't want to say it's overwhelming, but it's you can't explain it. It surpasses all understanding. In this, there's a place of reverence, honor, respect, which is the fear of the Lord. See, if you truly believe the word of God, it says when two or more gathered together, he's in the midst. I see so many people disgrace God's presence because they don't acknowledge, they don't get that. They don't get it. They don't go after him with all their heart because they become routine oriented. Everything is a recycle. Everything. We have seasons and times. There's a year. Everything is. There's the feasts. They're all recycled. Everything is recycled to give another opportunity. So when we gather together, I just want to encourage you. Don't offend him. Don't disgrace him. Amen? Because he is here in the midst. He does come in the assembly. And if you can't recognize that, you're disconnected and don't know. You don't know him. And you don't believe the word of God that says it. You don't know him. You can shout, dance, jump around like a kangaroo. That ain't nothing. That's just crucifying yourself, hopefully. Either that or you're in the flesh and can't get in the spirit yet. But there's a place of coming out of the flesh into the spirit where there is no actions. It's a total surrender. It's like falling off of a cliff into clouds of glory. And where you make connection. And you know who you are. Your identity has been refreshed. Your identity, for some people, needs to be restored. Who you really are comes from God's presence. See, you can read about who you are, but it doesn't become manifested until you get in His presence, because it is His presence that releases and reveals who you are. That's why we press in to get into His presence. Amen? That's why it's so important. That's why so many people lose who they are. Some people have never gained their identity. They have to keep looking in the mirror. Some people can't even remember their name. You need to have a tag, name tag says, Christ Jesus, Son. So in this, it's an area where you and I need to be not only consistent, steadfast, because it's a steadfast process that we go through. And in this, to be steadfast means to be firm and determined, firmly fixed. We must become firmly fixed to get in God's presence. It's not, oh, God, I hope you can do something for me. It's not, it's anything. We're not asking anything for Him to do something. We just want to get reconnected into His presence again and refresh who we are. That's what it's about. Never come in saying, Lord, I need. You come in and give. When you give, you receive. Does everybody understand? There's a difference. There's another level God is trying to bring us to. Where we should know that the anointing is with us all the time. Where we are servants of the anointing. The anointing doesn't serve us. We serve the anointing. So many people think that the anointing serves them. That's not how it happens. We must be steadfast, firm, and determined. Why? Because there's a steadfast process. These are steps taken in order to achieve a goal or a particular end. Everything you and I are doing is always in that arena. So we must be in a steadfast process. The process is a continuous moving operation that involves dedication. It involves loyalty. It involves discipline. And it involves consistency. And I'll repeat them. We are in a time where we must be we are involved in a steadfast process. Fixed, firm, determined to maintain this process. Why? Because it is a continuous moving operation. It involves dedication, loyalty, discipline, and consistency. It's not like, you know, every time we come together, the Lord says that we should be able to teach. You can't teach if you don't take notes. Oh, I got it. Oh, no, you don't. No matter where I go, it doesn't matter, multiple churches or whatever, I'm always ready to take notes. Why? Because God wants to speak to me all the time. I want to be ready to receive what He's having. Because why? I can write a revelation down and it Boom. Meditate on it. Never just show up at a place and open up a Bible and think you're okay. Because you ain't. That's not how it operates. God is raising up teachers. We should be able to teach everything we learned. If you don't have a teacher, a set heart that says, I need to teach what I've learned, then you're disconnected. Jesus said, come and what? Learn from me. Learn from me. So we are an intense right now, steadfast process. Because the world around us is getting more and more corrupt. I'm not saying doomsday. I'm saying more corrupt. The word of God warned us that more and more darkness would come up to the surface. More and more imposters and everything else would begin to take over. But your light would shine even more. That means what we are hard pressed. There's more influence than ever before. Through technology, through all kinds of stuff. No matter where you turn, you'll be an influence with something demonic. In Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice. You know, when you hear His voice, if you truly hear His voice, you obey it. A person that doesn't obey doesn't hear His voice. And do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart. They go astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways. How many of you know God wants you to know His ways? Oh, man, does He. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, which is the deceitfulness of the presence of evil that's influencing people. For we have become partakers of the anointing. Hello. If what? Is anybody with me? If we hold the beginning of our confidence, what? Steadfast. That means what? Firm and determined. Firmly fixed to the end. So you become a partaker. In other words, God knows where you and I are. He knows whether you want to go all the way to the end or not. And He says, you're not going to partake of the anointing if you're not in that place of position. I won't release that anointing to you. I'll give you enough to get by on, but that anointing, I won't release to someone that's not sold out. Amen? For we become partakers of the anointing or Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in what? Rebellion. Wow. So we see we got to be partakers of the anointing in the steadfast process of God all the way to the end. So you must already determine yourself that you are going all the way to the end no matter what. You must make that choice and that decision. I am all the way. I am sold out no matter what. I'm not giving up. I'm not going any direction. I'm going all the way to the end. In Luke 9. Oh, happy days. Luke chapter 9. You know, when people go into programs, like secular programs, they go in, they go for a certain time, they actually go in due time. And then they get out and they think, oh yeah, I got it. I got a certificate that says I did so many months, so many years, whatever. That certificate don't mean poop. This is what matters. This is right here is what matters. Whether you are sold out or not. Whether you've made that decision. You are determined. You are steadfast. I'm going all the way to the end. I don't care what's what. I don't care what happens in my, I don't care what happens in my family. I don't care what happens. I'm going all the way to the end. I'm going to see it all the way through till it's completed. Till I've given my last breath. I'm going to do everything that I can that I'm supposed to all the way. I'm going to teach. I'm going to preach. I'm going to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. All the way to the end. See, this is where we are sold out. There are things called emotional idols that interfere. And Luke 9:57. Luke 9:57. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Jesus, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Oh, there's a lot of people that say that. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus expressed to him, this ain't my home. There's someone that I'm following that's not of this world, but it's the creator of this world. Why? He came to do the Father's will, not his. So he wasn't concerned where he slept. He wasn't concerned about what's what. He knew that the Father would provide whatever needed while his heart was set all the way to the end. Then he said to another, follow me. Now this is pretty wild because one came to him and Jesus expresses, well, look at this is what this is about. In other words, this ain't my home. And another one came to him and said, and Jesus said, follow me. So one comes to Jesus and says, I'll follow you. But Jesus saw one and he said, follow me. Because he knows the hearts of everyone. And the person said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Emotional idol. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Why? He said, go preach life. Don't go preach death. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, these are some heavy-duty words. Where just people these days calling themselves Christians take these things nonchalantly. This is reality. This is what's really true. I can't tell you how many people don't want to get set free from drugs and alcohol because they don't want to give up their emotional idols. They don't want a new life, even though they believe that they have one. You can't have a new life with emotional idols in it. Why? Because that will always set you back. They say they will follow, but most do something first or want to do something first. Oh, yeah, wait, I need to do this first, Lord. Can you imagine Jesus being told, hold on a second, I need to do this first. See, because they don't see him physically, they have the mindset that he isn't there. Because you know why? They're disconnected. When you're connected, he's there. When you hear his voice, you do. There's a difference. So they will follow, but they must do something first. They have unidentified idols that prevent the process of regeneration. They prevent the process of transformation into Christ's anointing. All of these areas will cause a disconnect. They are called emotional idols. They always have but ministry in it, you know. But. False justifications, buts. Colossians 1. Steadfast process. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Glory. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind. Enemies in your mind. By wicked words, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. He didn't say to the world, he said in his sight. In other words, in his presence. Is everybody okay? If indeed you what? Continue in the faith, grounded in what? Steadfast. You're going to see that word steadfast, which really, truly is about being firmly fixed to the end, no matter what. No hesitation. Full throttle all the way to the end. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Steadfast process to become holy and blameless and above reproach, so that you are approved and not disapproved by God. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Remember, revival, we ask for a revival. Revival is to reconnect. It's just to get reconnected again, refreshed again, restored. Remember, your identity comes from the presence of God. That's where it comes from. That's why so many people drift from their identity. Oh, they can quote the scriptures, and they want to tell everybody about Jesus. But yet they don't have the fruits of Jesus. Philippians 2:12. Is everybody over there? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own. Amen. You can't work out anybody else's. You can warn them and tell them you need to work it out. And the word work means cooperate. So you need to cooperate with the one who brings you salvation. And it says, but with fear and trembling, in other words, reverence, honor, and respect. Well, if you can't even reverence, honor, and respect God in his presence, how are you going to work out your salvation? It's going to be quite difficult. You'll be one of those, he says, I don't know you. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Complaining. Oh, yes. And disputing. that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast, that means steadfast. Holding fast the word of life. Holding firmly fixed that God, what God says is true. You know, people pray and expecting God to answer their prayer when it's a prayer that God is not approving of. Just because, well, the word says two in touch will agree. Well, God doesn't always agree with what you're asking. But God said, no, that's not how it is. He has the last say, and that's just it. But the word says, forget it. He's the word that created it. The word still has the last say. I get a lot of people that quote this. Well, the word says this, the word says this. What does God say? But the word says this. Well, listen. God has the last say. So we want to always position us to allow God to have the last say. Amen? Not us. We're going to touch and agree what he's going to say last. What his last say is. But you can pray fast, do whatever you want. And God doesn't have to answer it. Because he may not be in approving of it. But the word says so. But it doesn't mean that. At first must he approve of it. Does everybody understand that? This is where relationship is essential. That's why people only have a relationship with the letter, not the presence. That's different. And so then they get confused. Because their identity is not coming from the presence. It's coming from knowledge. Oh, grab this. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Is everybody okay? In verse 17, yes, and I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice in the service of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Again, we are to be holding fast, standing on his words of promise. But again, we must understand that he still has the last say. I prayed for many people to be healed. Many people have prayed for people, why aren't you healing me, Lord? Well, you are healed. You're coming home. That's healed. Amen? And God has a different way of healing. And there's some people he's going to bring home no matter what. That's just, he's going to have the last say. I want this person home. Even Smith Wigglesworth's wife died. He brought her back, and the Lord said, no, she's mine. He called her back to life. But God was with him. That's what God called him to do. He was a plumber. Pretty terrible one too, I guess. I don't know, but God used them powerfully. In John chapter 8. Hallelujah. You know, if God said it, I believe it. But I also believe that he has his time and his last say. So whatever occurs, okay. Even the disciples with Jesus had a hard time casting out devils. Of course, they weren't filled with the Spirit, but they had the presence of God with them. See, to be filled with the Spirit and have the presence of God with you, that's the anointing. Does everybody get it? That's why we not only stay filled with the Spirit, but then we want the presence on us. In verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word. Now, I want you to grab hold of something. Was the Bible written then? No. So what were they abiding in? What he said. It's what he said. Why? Because he was there, right there with them. He said, listen, if you abide in my words, if you abide in my voice, if you're hearing what I'm saying, you are my disciples indeed. He never said anything about what you read. He said, what you hear, my words. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. A son abides forever. Do you understand this? This is relationship. This is one that communicates. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I speak. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do not. And you do what you've seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if he were your father, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. But and so verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now remember, if you love him, you obey him. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why do you not understand my words? Why can't you hear what I'm telling you or understand it? Because you're not able to listen or interpret my word. You can't hold on to my word because the devil constantly steals it. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears my voice, my words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not mine or you are not of God. Does everybody understand that? It said, abide in my words. Again, this is abiding in his presence and hearing what he's saying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell you not to read your Bible. Hello? It's a training manual. And it is for training. There's testimonies in there. There's experiences. There's written words that God did, that Jesus did while he was here. But there's another place. The original disciples did not have a Bible. They had the Holy Spirit. And people need to rely more on the Holy Spirit than ever before. He will not only confirm the word, but he will bring you beyond what's been written. How many of y'all know God can't be limited to what's been written here? There's so much more. So much. But the word of God, this Bible, is true. It builds the foundation and makes connection to the other side. But it's always supposed to bring me and you to God's presence. So we're reading about someone, we're reading about the person, should want to be able to meet the person, communicate with the person, and have fellowship with the person. So we want to go beyond what has been written. We want to be in the presence of the one who wrote it. That takes a steadfast process. In Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You know, we get calls all the time about people wanting to come into the discipleship house because they want to get off drugs and alcohol and so forth. And they'll qualify all the way up to the point where they can't bring their girlfriend or boyfriend with them. But we're Christians. You're a Christian, huh? So you guys are shacking together, calling yourself Christians, and you can't give up one another for 9 months unless you want to get married. Well, go get married then. Oh, no, we don't want to marry each other. You kidding me? I can't stand him, and I can't stand her, and this, that, and whatever, and I just want to get off drugs and alcohol. But you said you were a Christian. I'm telling you, this is what we deal with all the time. It just blows me away. What the heck are they getting this from? They have no relationship with the Father? What are they reading? Sports Illustrated instead of the Bible? Where are they getting this stuff from? What? No conviction? I can't tell you. It just blows me away. It's baffling to me. Doctrines of demons. They have more relationship with internet and cell phones than they do God. Oh, hallelujah. I won't go any further on that one. Psalm 51. Verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Hallelujah. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. In other words, in the inner man. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me what? Hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Are you ready? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a what? Steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will what? Then I will what? Teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. What is he saying here? Renew, refresh, revive, restore me to a steadfast, firm, determined, dedicated, disciplined, loyal, consistent inner man. Inner man of my spirit. And align me, join me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the anointing of Christ Jesus. Please don't take the Holy Spirit from me. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit. Steadfast process. Ephesians 3. Oh, happy days. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that the anointing Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we are able to ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever and ever. This will take a steadfast process. We must be firmly fixed. We must have an understanding that it is a continuous moving operation. It involves dedication, loyalty, discipline, and consistency. It's continuous. There is no stopping. There's no breaks in this. There's no time off from this. I'm telling you, it's amazing to me that where people, I need to take a break from God. What the heck? I'm going to slap you in the head. How stupid can you be and still breathe? I need a break from God. A break from God. Like, give God a break, amen? Yes, we want to get your inner man so connected, joined, united with the Holy Spirit and the anointing on a continuous basis. So that you and I can continue in this process, we've got to be dedicated. We've got to be willing to do whatever. We don't take breaks. Amen? We don't get off the train. We stay on it all the way home. 2 Peter 3. We are sold out. S-O-U-L-E-D. Second Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught, unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Why? Because without the anointing, you ain't going to understand. The word of God is interpreted through the anointing of Christ. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own what? Steadfastness. Being led away with error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever and ever. People are falling from their steadfastness, led away by emotional idols. Emotional idols. How many of y'all, we can be the most emotional idol? Children, family, business. People, money is a tremendous emotional idol to people. Oh man, if I don't do this, how can I pay bills? That's fear. God will make a way. Let me tell you, when you do what he asks you to do, he makes a way. He'll make a way. But he never interrupts himself. So if you believe God is telling you to do something that interrupts what he's requiring us to do, it ain't God. It's all to it. It's not God. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 1. Is everybody there? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who what? Fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. His what? Descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their house. Hallelujah. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is what? Steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his what? Enemies. Oh, praise God. Steadfast process of conversion. It's a regeneration and transformation into the partaking of his presence, power, and truth, which is the anointing. It will maintain a steadfast heart of loyalty and reverence and honor and respect, and as we praise and worship and obedience, always following through to the end, no matter what. You know, many distractions come from the enemy. Amen? Jesus said something powerful. He said, "It is finished." He came to fulfill all the way to the end, no matter what. That's the example he left for me and you. He endured suffering, the cross, and so forth. But his focus was already finished. All the way to the end. See, so many times people's focus gets interrupted, not looking to the end of something, or completing something, or striving to complete. They get so caught up in present in fear that they become short-sighted. And they can't see it all the way through. You know, the bottom line is everything's going to disappear. In fact, we probably won't even remember the stuff on the earth. It says that we won't remember. So when we get into the next dispensation of time in the eternal realm, we're going to be totally different. And before you enter into that place, we're going to all stand before God in the final, whether it says you're in or you're out. Nobody goes with you. Nothing comes with you. Everything is dissolved around you. It's just you and him. That's that. That's something that we have to focus on at the end. It's only me and him. And if we'll focus on that and bring that to the present, that it's always you and him. And the end result is you and him. And the present is me and him. And whatever I do is me and him. And he knows my thoughts. He knows everything about me. And I've got to be steadfast in the process of transition, regeneration, so that I'll become more like him no matter what. I must be firmly dedicated, fixed, focused on the completion of what he's called us to do. Everybody okay? In John 19. Hallelujah. In verse 28. Yes. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus has received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. See, he reached the completion and said, "It's finished. Done. I can go home now." But that's how we've got to maintain. I got to complete this mission so I can go home. I know that I completed what I was supposed to. in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. You know, it still baffles me sometimes that, and how God Almighty, the creator of all things, decided to become a human. And Mary knew it all. So she carries this child knowing it's God. I mean, no, he's sitting here. Don't say that. I'm carrying God. You cuss again, you're out of this house. You know, like, who's going to change his diaper, you know? I mean, it's like, he's God. Holy and pure and, I don't know, it's just sometimes overwhelming that God became a child. And then as a teenager went through all of the things that you and I went through just so that he knew what we went through. You know, he didn't go around stealing and lying like we did, fornicating and everything else. He didn't go around partying. He was a good kid. I mean, he ran away once, right? 3 days, you know. But he was about his father's business. Why? Because he was always about the mission. No matter what, his whole structure of existence here in this world was about the mission. That's what everything was. That's what you and I were sent from home to fulfill a mission. And we can't lose sight of that. We must be steadfast and maintain this process. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore, as we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance, the race that is set before us. That's the mission. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God Almighty. Wow. It's set before us. That's the mission. We must endure. That's being steadfast also. First, you know, so we run with endurance, the steadfast process that is set before me and you. Whatever training it takes, whatever it is. Remember, we don't even own this life. It's amazing how many believers think they own this life. I give you my life, Lord, but this afternoon I really need it back for a while. I'll give it to you from Friday to Sunday night, it's mine, then you can have it the rest of the time. Doesn't work that way. 1 Thessalonians 5. Hallelujah. In verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of all peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Steadfast process. I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Let's speak at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, in other words, you're looking at the end, all the way through. That's your hope. That when you awake, you're in it, you're going to be like him, in his image, character. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself in the present, just as he is pure. Does everybody see this? Steadfast process. Don't quit, don't give up, don't delay, and don't put no brakes on. Full throttle, all the way to the end. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We are sold out for your glory. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound abundantly. And let this word be protected, grow and bear fruit for your glory, and penetrate every part of our being and members, that we may be sold out steadfast in the process of transition and regeneration with dedication, firm, complete, all the way for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.